This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Inauguration threats. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Tuesday, January 19. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A report says the FBI is warning that lone wolves and other extremists plan to be in Washington for tomorrow's swearing-in of Joe Biden as president.
More details are emerging about the Biden administration's path to citizenship for millions of illegal residents. Hear them in just a moment.
An epidemiologist is recommending that healthcare providers in California stop using a particular batch of Moderna's vaccine because of possible allergic reactions.
And the failing companies that took stimulus money and still wound up closing their doors anyway, like Steinmart.
They turned to the PPP program as the last possible savior in hopes to survive. They took out $10 million, which is the max from the program. Wasn't nearly enough to cover the expenses and everything they had in front of them. So within 2 months, they filed for bankruptcy, closed all 280 stores, and some 9,000 workers lost their jobs.
Josh Solman at USA Today on companies that took taxpayer money to prolong the inevitable. The FBI has privately warned law enforcement agencies that far-right extremists have discussed posing as National Guard members in Washington, signs of potential efforts to disrupt tomorrow's presidential inauguration. The Washington Post says that both lone wolves and adherents of QAnon have indicated they plan to be in D.C. for the swearing-in of Joe Biden. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy.
It's the unknown. We've also been vetting them through the FBI. We're continually going through the process and taking second, third looks at every one of the individuals assigned to this operation.
Separately, law enforcement officials are looking into whether a woman took a laptop or hard drive from the office of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi during the assault on the Capitol 2 weeks ago and then tried to sell the device to Russian intelligence. A court filing outlined a criminal case against Riley June Williams. The FBI feels she has fled an address near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania that she shared with her mother, deactivated her phone number, and took down social media accounts. President-elect Biden plans to unveil an immigration proposal tomorrow after his swearing-in ceremony, hoping to provide an 8-year path to citizenship for an estimated 11 million people living in the U.S. illegally. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The AP says under the plan, those living in the U.S. as of this year without legal status would have a 5-year path to temporary legal status or a green card if they do things like pass background checks and pay taxes. From there, it's a 3-year path to naturalization. For so-called Dreamers, the young people brought to the U.S. illegally as children, as well as agricultural workers, they could qualify more immediately for green cards if they're working, are in school, or meet other requirements. The bill does not create any new guest worker or other visa programs. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Meanwhile, President-elect Biden rejected an effort by President Trump to lift bans on most travel into the U.S. from Europe, the U.K., and Brazil that were part of the early response to the coronavirus outbreak. Under a presidential proclamation released by the White House yesterday, the change would go into effect a week from today. The state epidemiologist in California is recommending that healthcare providers in the state pause administering one batch of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine due to possible allergic reactions. State epidemiologist Erica Pan says the doses were administered at a community vaccination clinic, although fewer than 10 people needed medical attention. Ms. Pan said providers should stop administering vaccines from the lot until an investigation by various agencies is complete. Meanwhile, aiming to boost the slow pace of administering COVID-19 vaccinations, Washington Governor Jay Inslee said the state has turned to Starbucks for help streamlining logistics.
We are now moving from a limited number of Washingtonians to a rather broad scale where max vaccinations are now possible, called for, and are going to be implemented.
Starbucks says it's assigned 11 employees with expertise in labor and deployment, operations, and research and development to work full-time on vaccine distributions in its home state. 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. New year, New budgets. Every small business has unique needs. And when you partner with a Dell Technologies advisor, you get real-time tailored advice. They'll even give you a free consultation on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, get special financing with Dell Business Credit and big savings on business computers with Intel Core processors. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and proven adaptability are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Welcome into Tuesday. The political party President Trump commanded with a firm hand for 4 years is now torn over whether he has a place in its future. Aaron Zitner, news editor at The Wall Street Journal, says the violent incursion into the Capitol 13 days ago has made some Republican leaders and strategists so worried about the party's image, they believe the only course is to split with Mr. Trump. Aaron, explain.
Well, the Republican Party is having a really crisis of identity, I'd say, over what it wants to be in a post-Trump world. And that discussion had always been engaged, what comes next after Trump, but the Capitol Hill riots just really amplified it. And the reason is Trump has changed the party that leaves elected officials with a choice. He has cemented the party's connection to a working class base and even expanded it beyond the white working class to include more folks from other racial groups. And that's a really loyal group of people. They tend to be more rural than urban, or working class more than professional class. And that's a very firm relationship. But the party can't survive without some of its traditional suburban and exurban voters. And the party had been hoping that it could take advantage of what had Trump had done in the party in cementing the working class base and pursuing an agenda that appealed to many suburban voters, low taxes, deregulation, to build a durable majority. Now that's really in trouble. The more rural and working class committed lawmakers voted with the president not to certify those electoral college results even after the riots. And a lot of the voices you're hearing of people who are condemning the president have to run statewide and have to win some of those suburban voters and can't afford to abandon them. And a lot of the suburban voters are really appalled by what they saw in the Capitol in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting in one part of your story, I think it was an observer who said something along the lines of, or maybe as an elected official, we have to be a party about ideas, not one person. And then I think it was Donald Trump Jr. who said, this is Donald Trump's Republican Party.
Well, that's right. And you see in places like Arizona, where Governor Doug Ducey, who's term limited but might run for the Senate and still, you know, wants to have a political future and has a lot of political history and capital at stake, he did not go with the president's request to revisit the results of that very narrow loss that Trump had there. Trump narrowly lost Arizona, and the governor said, nope, these are the results. We've certified them. I'm not changing them. I'm not reopening this. And the president, you know, had wanted him to find a way to get to victory there. And what you get is a fight within the party, where the state party chairwoman starts feuding with the governor and tells him to shut the heck up. Mm-hmm. And he gives indications he might want to replace her, and there's finger pointing and fighting. And we have a Republican consultant in the state saying, this is just not helpful. You can't raise money in this environment. You can't recruit candidates in this environment. We have a Senate race and a governor's race next year. If the party is fighting over Donald Trump, we can't, you know, do what we need to do to unify and support our candidates. Mm-hmm.
We're speaking with Aaron Zitner, news editor at The Wall Street Journal. His piece is called GOP Splits Over Post-Trump Path. The one county Republican leader in Kansas you spoke to, too, said he was fielding all kinds of calls about the two Senate Republicans, or Republican senators in his state.
Right. That's a very, you know, conservative state. This GOP chairman happened to be in one of the few Democratic strongholds, Johnson County, which is the Kansas City Missouri suburbs on the Kansas side. And he said he gets a call. He's getting calls first saying, we need to run a primary against this newly elected senator, Roger Marshall. He voted to decertify election results, and we got to kick him out of the party. And then he'll get a bunch of calls saying, Jerry Moran, the state's senior senator, didn't support the president. We have to impeach him right away. And he's just feeling the division within the party, even in a conservative state like Kansas.
Mm. Thanks, Aaron. Aaron Zitner, news editor at The Wall Street Journal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President-elect Joe Biden plans to unveil a sweeping immigration bill on day one of his administration, hoping to provide an 8-year path to citizenship for an estimated 11 million people living in the U.S. without legal status. The legislation puts Biden on track to deliver on a major campaign promise important to Latino voters and other immigrant communities after 4 years of President Trump's restrictive policies and mass deportations.
Number two.
Federal authorities have arrested a woman whose former romantic partner says she took a laptop from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office during the riot at the U.S. Capitol. The Justice Department says Riley Williams was arrested yesterday. A caller claiming to be an ex of Williams alleged that Williams intended to sell the device to a friend in Russia who planned to sell it to that country's foreign intelligence service. But that plan fell through, and she either has the device or destroyed it.
Number three.
California has become the first state to record more than 3 million known coronavirus infections. The grim milestone wasn't entirely unexpected in a state with 40 million residents, but its speed is stunning. The state only reached 2 million reported cases on December 24th. Meanwhile, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar continues to defend the federal government's vaccine rollout strategy.
Over 70% of our governors would tell you, Democrat and Republican, that this is going well, they're working well with us, it's the natural scale-up. You've got some governors who are frankly the ones who are failing, who have administered 50% or less of the vaccines that have been shipped to them.
The New York Mets issued a statement late last night acknowledging they were aware of an ESPN report that said new general manager Jared Porter sent unsolicited messages and lewd photos to a female reporter in 2016. Mets president Sandy Alderson says the team was made aware last night of the situation, which occurred when Porter was working for the Chicago Cubs. Alderson says Porter acknowledged his serious error in judgment, has taken responsibility for his conduct, has expressed remorse, and has previously apologized for his actions. Alderson says the team continues to review the issue. The NFL scouting combine will have a very different look to it as the country continues to operate under COVID restrictions. Instead of gathering in Indianapolis, the entire evaluation process will take place remotely. There will be no in-person workouts. Instead, all workouts will take place on individual pro days on college campuses.
Wow. That's tough. I mean, how do you see guys' body language all the time, right? Or attitude, things like that. It's, yeah. Those things are hard to measure there.
It's going to be interesting.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks for joining us. Healthy food choices have an allure of well-being and vitality and make unspoken promises of making you fit. What you may not realize is that these foods top the list of healthy myths that will knock you right out of the diet ballpark and disrupt your plans to be slim and trim. What to keep in mind if that's part of a New Year's resolution from Nicolette Pace, registered dietitian and nutritionist in New York. Nicolette, what should we know?
It's interesting. Some of them are like hangovers from 1970s with the allure of being healthy foods. But after tens of thousands of patients that I've treated one-on-one, many, many have come into me and say, I can't lose weight and I eat healthy. Eating healthy does not equate with weight loss. And many of these healthy foods are actually calorie-laden and notorious for taking in the opposite direction.
All right, so in your notes here, you talked about granola, for example. What's good about granola, but what can trip you up about granola?
Well, originally it was a simple mixture of whole grains, and it didn't have, you know, it had, like, not necessarily added sugars, but in order to make those, like, clusters, there's, like, a lot of fat added to it. That's, you know, what binds it. So it's very calorie-laden. So just a small amount is going to bring you up to 150 to 200 calories. And I have yet to find any patient or client or person that has come in and actually measured their cereal. And I always like to tell them a carpenter term of, you know, measure twice, cut once. All you have to do is do it once, look at your cereal bowl and see what it holds, and then you never have to do it again. Mm. So at least you know what you're doing. But people are eating three and four times the amount.
You said it's almost the equivalent of a giant plate of spaghetti, the amount of carbs you might intake there?
Absolutely. Jeez. Absolutely.
How about something like hummus?
Well, hummus, that's another good thing. And people are mistakenly using, oh, it's healthy, it's healthy. Hummus needs to be looked at. It's not a protein. Yes, it is coming from a vegetable source, et cetera. But in order to blend it and make it smooth, you know, oil, et cetera, has to be added, which makes it, you know, not necessarily something you're going to dive into. But it is a lower calorie fat alternative. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that the view of it and the tendency to kind of just like dive into it and eat like the whole,
yeah,
you know, container with, again, you don't realize where these calories are coming from.
Yeah. Oh, boy, on a salted pretzel rod, I could go all day eating hummus. For sure. A big weakness I have.
Well, then I will get you a camel and you can march across the Sahara because that's what you need. Because that's what you're going to need to burn that off.
Right, right.
Oh, my goodness.
We're speaking with Nicolette Pace, registered dietitian and nutritionist. She's talking about healthy foods that can ruin your diet. Also on your list, peanut butter. How come?
Peanut butter, and another one of those, people think it's a protein source. Peanut butter is a complex fat. Yes, it does have some carbohydrates. It does have some protein, but primarily it's fat. Now, contrast that, a tablespoon of mayonnaise is 100 calories. A tablespoon of peanut butter is 90. So what's the difference here? Mm. What am I missing?
Even the reduced fat stuff, you have to pay attention to.
That's cute. It's like a misnomer. How do you reduce fat on a fat? It's interesting.
Nicolette Pace, registered dietitian in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Fellas, it's 2021, the year of the rally, the one where we kick 2020 into the rearview mirror and start changing things for the better. So why not dress the part? Be the man that's always on this year with Cuts Clothing. They redesigned the simplest classics like the plain tee from the ground up, combining cutting-edge fabric technology with intelligent, minimalist design to get the next-level comfort you have to wear to believe. The one that I love for winter is the new hoodie. The Hyperloop French Terry fabric they developed not only feels buttery soft like the signature Pika fabric on their shirts, but it's temperature-controlled. You never have to take it off. And just like me, you won't want to. Entrepreneurs, mavericks, athletes, podcast hosts, everyone loves Cuts. They're echoing GQ. It's the only shirt worth wearing. Let's kick off 2021 the right way, starting with your wardrobe. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
No fear. Just facts. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Tuesday, January 19. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines, warnings about extremists potentially in Washington for tomorrow's inauguration. Biden says no to Trump's push to lift some coronavirus travel restrictions. A national memorial tonight in D.C. for the Americans who've lost their lives to COVID. Melania Trump's farewell message, choose love over hate. The Mega Millions jackpot for tonight, $850 million. And the teacher who's in the National Guard in D.C. instructing kids from the back of a Humvee. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lightstream. Apply today for a fixed-rate credit card consolidation loan, and you could save thousands in interest. Go to lightstream.com/deal. Lenders participating in the Small Business Administration Relief Program shelled out more than $520 billion last year to millions of companies searching for a lifeline to stave off the economic impacts of COVID. Like Steinmart, USA Today found that some were failing long before the pandemic hit. Should the likes of Steinmart have gotten the money? Josh Salmon, investigative reporter at USA Today, has been exploring the issue. Josh, what did you find?
So we wanted to look at companies that, as you mentioned, had taken out this PPP money with hopes to stay afloat, but ultimately were forced to close down. One of the most notable examples we saw was Steinmart. Now, they are a discount retailer from Florida. They have department stores scattered throughout the Southeast. But they were really bleeding financially long before the pandemic as their business model was ultimately crumbling. They turned to the PPP program as the last possible savior in hopes to survive. They took out $10 million, which is the max from the program. Wasn't nearly enough to cover the expenses and everything they had in front of them. So within 2 months, they filed for bankruptcy, closed all 280 stores, and some 9,000 workers lost their jobs. So, you know, a pretty good example of how, you know, a company that could take out the max amount under the program and you know, really ultimately unable to survive.
Yeah. All right. So those are tax dollars that'll never be repaid, I presume. But what they did was not illegal.
No, not at all. I mean, unfortunately, there's a loophole in the program for this. There was nothing, as these rules were written, that said an employer had to stay open for a certain amount of time. You know, obviously the funds were designed to help businesses that presumably were struggling. The idea was to sort of keep employee payroll going. But there was no provision for the companies that were sort of struggling beyond repair. And that's what we saw with companies like Steinmart and companies that really sort of took this as a handout on their way under, you know, rather than a true form of help.
Yeah. What were some of the others that you mentioned in the story? I know there were lots of them, but who else made the story?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we looked at actually a restaurant company in Trump Tower in New York City that similarly took out PPP money, was forced to close down. We saw it just really across the board, private jet operators in Florida, a union cab, a big cabbing company out in the Wisconsin area, and even actually a paper mill, a newspaper printing paper mill, which actually is owned in part by Gannett, the corporate owners of USA Today, where I work. But what we had found is this was a paper mill out in Washington State that was struggling long before the pandemic. As newspaper circulation and revenues are declining, they took out a $3.5 million PPP loan. Within 2 months, they completely shut down their plant and let go of all 150 workers that they had.
Wow. We're speaking with Josh Solomon, investigative reporter at USA Today. His story is called Hurting Long Before COVID-19. Failing companies took stimulus money, then closed anyway. Somebody made a point in the story. This did prolong the inevitable for a lot of these companies. However, it did give some extra paychecks to these employees.
Well, that's sort of the argument. I mean, when you talk to representatives from Steinmart, they'll say, hey, listen, the idea of the program was never really to save a company like ours. It was, as you mentioned, to prolong the inevitable. They make the argument that they were able to keep paychecks in the hands of employees who may have been living week to week, you know, and keep money in their hands for an additional month or two. Others will look at this program and argue, yeah, well, those 9,000 workers still had to go on unemployment. They still had to, basically deal with all the same things that would have happened without this program. It just happened a month later. So, was that really worth the $10 million spent if all these folks are still jobless, still relying on unemployment, and now still trying to figure out how they're going to survive?
Yeah. So will there be changes for the next round of stimulus that's given to small business?
No, not as we understand. You know, another about $284 billion, I believe, was earmarked, as another round of PPP funds. There is nothing in that addresses the sort of loophole that we write about. It remains to be seen if they are, you know, going to go ahead and change any of those rules or what. But from what we can tell, this is, this can continue if, you know, a lot of it right now will also depend on how the Small Business Administration, comes to reviewing these loans as it becomes time to see which ones are going to get forgiven.
Yeah.
And that's a process playing out now. And I think you'll see a lot of that work in that process, where they'll really go in and look at maybe how they can fix this and stop this from occurring in the future.
Thank you, Josh. Josh Solomon, investigative reporter at USA Today. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to make an impact this Valentine's Day with something personal and meaningful that will be cherished for a lifetime? Then you need to visit paintyourlife.com. Get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo at a truly affordable price. Choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect. They did an amazing job for us. We chose a recent favorite photo of our kids from a Sweet 16 party, and our artist turned it into a beautiful portrait of the two of them. We absolutely love it. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited-time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off.
and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word DEAL to 64000. That's DEAL to 64000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, text DEAL to 64000. Glad you could spend some time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we've likely all been here before at one time or another, all of a sudden craving our favorite greasy food and willing to go out of our way to get it. Rarely, however, do we travel 100 miles to do so and run afoul of the law in the process. That's what police in England say happened to one man who was stopped last week. The 34-year-old told police he was headed to McDonald's, despite the fact that the town he was in did not have a McDonald's location. He was also breaking the country's coronavirus protocols by driving 100 miles from his hometown to this town without a McDonald's.
Right.
Authorities issued the driver a fine of $270 for breaking coronavirus regulations, and because this is the UK, they also seized the driver's car due to a lack of insurance. Not at all worth it, even if he did eventually get his hands on a McRib, which he clearly did not.
Man. Didn't he just use kind of Google Maps and choose restaurants nearby or something like that and find the closer McDonald's?
That's what he should have done, sure. I mean, there certainly, you know, even in the UK, there's certainly a McDonald's within 100 miles of his house. He probably passed seven of them on the highway on his way to this town that did not have a McDonald's.
Wow, that is quite a mission.
Yeah, he may have been lying about his intentions. I want to cast aspersions. We don't know. He's got to have his day in court, I'm sure, but he may have been lying about where he was going or why he was there.
Boy, so he was after for what amounted to, let's say, I don't know, $6 meal, $7 meal, maybe.
Yes.
10 if he was really hungry.
Right, yeah.
Right,
mm-hmm.
And so now he's looking at $270 in fines for breaking coronavirus regulations, and they towed his car.
Yes.
Oh, man.
That's the danger.
That's brutal.
They don't mess around in the UK.
No,
you don't have insurance, your car's getting on the back of a flatbed.
Ugh.
And you know you're having a bad day when a car thief is lecturing you on your parenting skills. This apparently happened over the weekend in Beaverton, Oregon, when a woman went into a grocery store about 15 feet from the car, leaving her 4-year-old child inside with the engine running and the car unlocked. Store employees told police that the woman was in the market for a few minutes before someone began driving away with the SUV. However, once the thief realized the toddler was in the back seat, he drove back, berated the woman for leaving her child unattended, told the woman to take the child, then proceeded to drive away in the stolen vehicle. Police said that, in fact, the woman did nothing wrong as she was within sight and sound of the child, but that the incident served as a good reminder to take extra precautions with children. The vehicle was found a few hours later in Portland, but police are still searching for the thief.
Man.
Imagine getting that lecture. The guy drives up, takes the kid out of the back seat, you know, puts him on the curb, be like, "What are you thinking?" And then drives away with the car.
And then just takes the car. That's something. I've always tried to imagine worst case scenarios. Like, the effort of taking my 4-year-old into the store.
Yeah.
Against the prospect of having the car stolen with my child inside it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll make the effort.
Right.
This is going to cost me 3 minutes. To get the child out of the car seat, strapped back into the car seat at the end.
Yes. I don't know. Leaving the car running, on top of that with the keys in. I know people who do that all the time, who just run into stores and leave the car running. I never do that.
Me either.
I've heard too many stories of those kind of things
like
happening.
Like you. I could try to imagine worst case scenarios. Like, do I really need to leave my car running? Yeah. I'm going to be gone 3 minutes.
I'll take the keys. It's cool.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. The one state that might be more stressed out than the rest, Missouri. A new survey from OnePoll for the stress supplement called Natrol Relaxia found that residents of the Show Me State were most worried about finances, the coronavirus, politics, current events. The survey found Missourians spent a whopping 3 hours and 18 minutes, apparently, worrying about stressful situations in their lives on an average day. Mississippi was second most stressed out with 3 hours and 12 minutes of daily worrying, while West Virginia was third. Georgia, Louisiana, and Vermont all tied for fourth most stressed. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Coronavirus deaths are rising in nearly two-thirds of states as a winter surge pushes the overall toll toward 400,000 amid warnings that a new, highly contagious variant is taking hold. Washington Governor Jay Inslee.
We are now moving from a limited number of Washingtonians to a rather broad scale, where max vaccinations are now possible, called for, and are going to be implemented.
Number two.
With less than 48 hours left in his presidency, President Trump announced late yesterday he's lifting COVID-19-related travel restrictions he placed on foreign nationals coming from much of Europe and Brazil. But President-elect Joe Biden's spokeswoman then tweeted that the new administration does not intend to lift the travel conditions on January 26th.
Number three.
Treasury Secretary nominee Janet Yellen is calling on Congress to do more to fight the pandemic-induced recession, saying the threats of a longer and even worse downturn are too great to cut back on support now. In testimony prepared for her confirmation hearing before a Senate committee today, Yellen says without further action, we risk a longer, more painful recession now and longer-term scarring of the economy later. An Army reservist from New Jersey who works as a Navy contractor with security clearance is facing federal charges in connection with the riot at the U.S. Capitol. A criminal complaint accuses Timothy Hale Cusinelli of unlawfully entering the Capitol, disrupting government business, violent entry, and disorderly conduct, as well as demonstrating in a Capitol building and obstructing law enforcement. President Trump is likely to grant clemency to rapper Lil Wayne today in a final wave of pardons and commutations that is not expected to include lawyer Rudy Giuliani or ex-aide Steve Bannon. The rapper, who appeared to support Trump during last year's presidential campaign, pleaded guilty last month to possessing a loaded handgun when his chartered jet landed in Miami in December of 2019. He faces a sentence of up to 10 years in prison. The Crown and Ozark dominate the TV nominations for the 26th annual Critics' Choice Awards. Both shows took in six nominations apiece. HBO's Lovecraft Country, FX's Mrs. America, and Emmy sweeper Schitt's Creek on Pop TV all earned five nominations. The awards will be handed out on March 7th.
Right, I don't want to hear any more about Ozark until I know when the show is coming back for season four.
It's the one thing you watch, right?
The only thing I've watched like in its entirety other than Blue Bloods. The teasing is driving me crazy.
Oh, boy.
Get on it, Jason. Or no, it's Justin Bateman, right? Jason Bateman? Jason, one of the Batemans. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour.
For the ones standing guard. For the eagle-eyed. For the knights in shining armor. And for all those who support them. We are Grainger, your experienced safety partner. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Committed to helping keep your facilities safe. And your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com/safety, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. And when you partner with a Dell Technologies advisor, you get real-time tailored advice. They'll even give you a free consultation on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, get special financing with Dell Business Credit and big savings on business computers with Intel Core processors. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. How about this for dedication? D.C. National Guard Sergeant Jacob Kohut was on his only break during a 12-hour shift, standing guard outside the U.S. Capitol in the back of a Humvee, flute in hand. Mr. Kohut was teaching students how to play a Beethoven piece through his laptop. The Washington Post says since his deployment to the nation's capital last week, the 34-year-old Mr. Kohut has been on double duty as an active member of the Guard and a band teacher at public schools in Fairfax County, Virginia. Mr. Kohut arrives in D.C. first thing in the morning to teach his elementary class remotely from the drill floor of the D.C. Armory, finishing just before his guard shift starts. He later signs online during a break to teach his middle school students from the back of that Humvee. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.